Glad you're here today. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you for all the music and worship today. It's good to be together. Today we finish out 1 Timothy, titled the message today, Final Instructions from Paul. Final Instructions from the people of God, for the people of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. Scripture says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, to witness the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who was blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen." May we pray today. Father, I ask you to be with us, and I pray that during this time that you would speak to our hearts. Father, thank you for the practical nature of Scripture. Lord, you're telling us and revealing us some things that we need to know. But Lord, not only things that we need to know, but things and principles that we need to put into practice. So I pray today we would not only just be a hearer of the Word, but that we would commit to being a doer of the Word. Thank you for each one that is here in this presence today and in this congregation. Speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about the end of 1 Timothy, I want to remind you, of course, that next week we're going to begin a study in 2 Timothy. Of course, the letters were written several years apart, and we'll talk about that next week. And the emphasis is somewhat different, I would say. So we will begin thinking about that next week from the book of 2 Timothy. But for today, let us finish out the book of 1 Timothy. And as I said, I've entitled this message today, Final Instructions, and there are several of them that I want you to see today from the Word of God. It is interesting that as we look at Paul's ministry, here's something that we find. I think it's very important for us to understand, and this should be self-evident. I guess this should be something that we know and understand and realize, but allow me to say it today just to remind you. When we look at Paul's ministry and the ministry of life within the early church, we understand how very people-focused it is. Obviously, they were lifting up Jesus, and their ministry was Jesus-focused, but it was also extremely people-focused. And I think that's something that you and I, as God's people, we need to continue to remember. Oftentimes, we fall in love with dates and with events and with programs, and while those have a place within the life of a church, we must always remember that we're here to lift up Jesus, and we're here to be others and people-centered. We're not here to be program-centered, we're here to be people-centered. And that is an important distinction that we need to understand and realize. I've come to understand that in ministry, a lot of programs have a shelf life. They have a time when they're very effective, but they also have a time when they're no longer effective. And as God's people, we need to understand that we're here to lift up Jesus and to reach others for Christ and to be encouraged in the faith. We're not here to necessarily always be about programs. We're here to be about people. So let's continue to think and understand that from that perspective of God working in us and through us as he worked in and through Paul to see people brought to Christ, to see people become more and more mature in Christ Jesus. Final instructions. What are they? There are several. Let me mention them beginning in order today. From verse number 11, number one, the first final instruction is this. It is to flee from evil. The first final instruction that is given to Timothy, and I believe is given to us, is to flee from evil. He says in verse number 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." Get away from them. That's what the word flee means. It means to abandon. It means to get away from, run away from. We, as God's people, are to flee from evil. Now, certainly, that has a very generic component to it. We know and understand what evil is. We know and understand what is against God and what is against the Bible and the Ten Commandments and the things of God. We understand evil in a general sense, and certainly we are to flee from that. But let's also keep this in its context. Paul warned us about some things last week that we need to flee from. We need to flee from laziness in verses 1 and 2. And of course, be ready to be able to take a good stand and be a good employee and work hard to do all that we can do to honor and to glorify God. We need to flee from the sin of laziness. We need to flee from false teaching, the sin of false teaching. False teaching is dangerous. It leads people not towards God. It leads people away from God. And so he's encouraging Timothy and encouraging us to flee from it, to get away from it, to understand the truth so that we can separate the true from the false. And then he warns us to flee from the evil of riches, from the evil that wealth can come and can bring upon our lives. And he talks about the fact that godliness with contentment is great gain, and that it is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of different evils. We are to flee from evil as God's people. We are to flee from it. We are to run from it. Think about the life of Joseph. When he was confronted with evil there, with Potiphar's wife, what did he do? He left. He fled. He got out of there. And that is the example that we as God's people need to have. Flee from evil. We get so close to it sometimes. We want to sometimes see how close we can get to evil and not be affected by it. How close we can get to the fire, figuratively, and not get burned. Child of God, flee from it. Number two, not only flee, but follow after God. Did you notice what he says there in verse number 11? Man of God, flee these things and pursue. That's the next verb that's used there, pursue. See, we are to flee from evil, yes. But that's always not enough. We need to not only flee from evil, we need to follow after God. We need to replace what we're fleeing with something that is much, much better. Flee evil and then pursue God. Pursue after Him. Follow after Him. Notice the action that is to take place on the behalf of us as believers. We are to pursue. We are to go after. We are to chase after what is good. Run away from what is bad, but also flee and follow towards what is good. Now, what are the things that he mentions here? Well, you see them, don't you? In verse number 11, righteousness. We're to pursue righteousness, right living. Pursue and seek to live in a right way. You have been saved. You have been adopted, child of God, into the family of God. Now let's act like it. Let's live like it. We are to pursue righteousness. We are to pursue godliness in this context here. And often this word can be almost synonymous with the word holiness. The part of God to be separated out from this world and to be godly in all things. We're to pursue faithfulness. Faith is the word that he uses there. We're to grow in our understanding and in our knowledge and in our trust of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what faith is all about, isn't it? Faith is about trusting in, even though we can't see. Trusting in, even though we can't verify it necessarily as we would other things in this life. Trusting in, even though we can't prove it, as some would desire for us to prove. We still trust in. We follow after God in love. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We're to continue to follow after God in patience, growing in patience. Beginning to think that is really one of the hallmarks of spiritual growth. When God begins to produce faithfulness and begins to produce patience in us, then there's something happening there. Something is taking place. God is doing a work when we find ourselves growing in these things, in patience. And then he speaks here of gentleness. The end of verse number 11, he talks about gentleness. And that carries with it the idea of self-control, of keeping our vessel, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and yes, even our mouths under control, self-control. We are to pursue these things. to pursue the right and the good and the holy. Now, like I said, this should be so self-evident, we probably shouldn't even have to be taught this. But let's be honest, we still struggle with it. We still struggle with it. The allure of the old life, the allure of the flesh, the allure of sin is still strong in our lives. And so Paul tells us today, flee. There's some things we need to flee. Maybe in your life today, there's some things you need to get away from. There's some things that are close to you and you're allowing them close to yourself. And as we've talked about before, the Proverbs say, do not think that you can take fire into your lap and not be burned. We need to flee from certain things and to follow after that which is so much better. Number three, we need to fight the good fight. To fight the good fight. In verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I love that. There's nothing passive whatsoever about verse number 12. Fight the good fight. Now, I know that we oftentimes in our day and time, we want to kind of shy away from that imagery, but it is rich in the Bible. Paul uses it often. And let me remind you, of course, the fight is not against people. The fight is not even physical in nature. The fight is in the mind. Fight the good fight of faith. What are we going to believe? Are we going to continue to hold to it? Are we going to continue to believe it? Are we going to continue that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that He lived a perfect, spotless life for our righteousness, that at the proper time He died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again for our justification, that He appeared unto over 500 witnesses, many different witnesses in His resurrected body, that He ascended back to the Father? Are we going to continue to fight to believe those things? Those foundational doctrines. Fight the good fight of faith. Are we going to continue to hold to the Word of God? In the book of Ephesians, the Bible speaks of the spiritual armaments that we are to put on in order to be able to fight against the flaming arrows of Satan. And one of the things that is mentioned is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. As a matter of fact, in our spiritual armament, that is the only offensive weapon we have, is the Word of God. The Word of God is how Satan was defeated by Jesus early on in His ministry. The Word of God keeps us centered and grounded and helps us to continue to fight the good fight. And then He speaks here also of the confession, a good confession. Now let me ask you this today. If someone were to ask you, I'm not talking and asking, you know, about preaching a message or preaching a sermon or preaching and teaching a lesson or even giving a speech. If a good friend, if someone you were comfortable with, someone you were even close to, were to ask you today, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Bible? Could you give them a summary statement? Could you give them some sort of confession? Could you talk about it? Now, I'm not saying that you know everything about the Bible or everything about what the Scriptures teach, but can you get the basics out? There's something powerful about it. There's something powerful about just saying it, confessing it. There's something powerful that really sinks it deeply into our hearts. Do you have a testimony? Can you understand at least the basics of Christianity? It's important to fight the good fight, to confess. And then He speaks here of the people of God. Did you notice the end of verse number 12? In the presence of many witnesses. The church plays a huge role in this, in fleeing from evil and following after God. It's encouraging to realize that there are others in the church that are also fighting the good fight. Friends, you're not alone. You may feel like you're alone in your workplace. You may feel like you're alone in your family. You may feel like Elijah did, that I'm all alone, Lord. They've all left. They've all gone after You. But listen, it's good to come together as a church and to do it regularly so that we can be reminded that there are others that are fighting the good fight. Stay in the fight. Don't give up. You may lose every now and again. That's okay. Stay in the fight. Keep trusting. Flee from evil. Follow after God. Fight the good fight. Number four, fulfill your ministry. fulfill your ministry. Timothy, the young pastor, is commanded here in verse number 14 to keep the commandment without spot, blameless, until the Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest as in own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Fulfill your ministry, Timothy. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. Realizing that we are going to stand one day before the great and mighty potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Fulfill your ministry. Continue on. Don't stop. Don't quit. We looked at it this morning in their Galatians study, right? Do not become weary in well-doing. For if you sow, you will ultimately reap. Do not become weary. It's the same message, isn't it? Fulfill it. Continue it. Be obedient. Be faithful. Continue on realizing what God has done for you. Now, I want to say this. I know and understand that in the life of a church, every now and again, as time progresses, our life situations change. Perhaps we get a little older. I'm not saying that everyone is going to keep the same job they have in the church forever. Sometimes things do need to change. Sometimes you can't do everything maybe that you once did. And that's okay. Times change. Our bodies change, our minds change, our circumstances change, our time allotment now changes, our energy level changes. All that's going to change if the Lord allows us to live for any length of time. So I'm not suggesting that everyone who has the particular task in the church should keep it forever and ever. Sometimes it's good to step away from it. But what I'm saying is don't quit. Maybe your ministry today is simply to give. If that is the case, then give. Be faithful in it. Perhaps your ministry today is simply to encourage those around you, to encourage your neighbors and your friends, your loved ones, those within the church. That is a vital ministry, to encourage people around you, especially the people of God, to do good, as we've talked about this morning, to those especially who are of the household of God. Perhaps your ministry is to now pray. And listen, that is vital. We often think of prayer as the last resort. It ought to be the first resort, the first thing we turn to. So pray. Intercede on behalf of your people. Whatever God has called you to do, if He's left you here, fulfill your ministry. I know and realize there will probably come a day when I will no longer be able to pastor. But my hope and my prayer is that if I can get out of bed and if people will listen to me, I want to keep preaching until I see Jesus. I want to continue preaching, as like I said, as long as somebody will have me, as long as someone will listen, even when I have to leave behind the day-to-day ministry, I want to keep preaching the Word. Fulfill your ministry. And I say that if the Lord wills. I wouldn't presume to know what the future holds for me or for any of us. But whatever time we have left, fulfill it. Number five. Final instruction Paul gives us is to be careful of the deceit of wealth. We talked about this a lot last week. I'm not going to belabor this point too much today, but let's just look at what Paul says in verse number 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty and not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Be careful of the deceit of and the wickedness of wealth. And as we've spoken of so often before, there's nothing particularly sinful about having wealth or about riches within themselves, but they can become corrupted so easily. They really can. And it's just interesting. We've been studying through this. I think I saw last night the latest lottery numbers and stuff, and it's in the millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. And so you know what that means, right? Throughout this week, people will go and they'll lay down their money and they'll lay down their money. Even though, do you know what they say? You and I have a better chance of being struck by lightning twice and surviving than winning one of those major lotteries in the same day. You and I have a better chance of being struck by lightning twice, surviving it, all happening in the same day than we have of winning one of these things. And then when you look and you see what happens to people who all of a sudden, whether through that or through other things, when all of a sudden all these riches are hoisted upon them, a lot of people just can't handle it, can they? A lot of people can't really grasp it. And they end up not only losing everything, they end up deeply in debt. Why? Because they were not prepared for it. We would think that it would solve all of our problems, but let's be careful about the deceitfulness of wealth, about the riches that come. People today are giving their lives over to it. They're worshiping it. And in the end, we need to be warned about it. Be careful of wealth's deceit. Number six, he also says, be rich in good deeds. He turns out and around in verse number 18, it says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Paul turns it around here and says, don't be rich in this world's things, but be rich in good deeds. Give and be rich in good deeds. You see, anyone can do that. Sometimes we are very much limited by our earthly resources, but we're not limited in good deeds. It's just a matter of choosing to do good deeds. It's just a matter of choosing to live that way. Choosing to live in such a way that we seek to do good deeds, that we seek to store up for ourselves a good foundation. You remember what Jesus said? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where they can be corrupted and destroyed. But he said, lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven where they're not corrupted, where they cannot be destroyed, where they are eternal. As you and I seek to do good in this world, that's laying up a treasure in heaven. That's laying up something that will last. Let's lay up treasures in heaven, not earthly wealth, but eternal wealth. Not an earthly foundation, but an eternal foundation. Not an earthly inheritance that can be taken away, that can be lost, but an eternal inheritance. He says in verse number 19, store up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So be rich in good deeds. Be rich in good deeds towards others. Be rich in the way that we not only give financially, but the way we give encouragement, the way we strengthen one another. Be rich in these things, my friends. This is what matters. This is what lasts. This is what's going to be brought up when we stand before Jesus. Be rich in good deeds. Flee from evil. What do you need to flee from today? Perhaps there's something in your life you need to flee from. You need to get away from it. Not only flee, but follow after God. Keep fighting the good fight. Some of you, you're discouraged today. You're about ready to quit. You're about ready to walk away from the church, from the Bible, from the things of God. Keep fighting the good fight. Don't give up. Keep going forward. Fulfill your ministry. Whatever your ministry is at this present moment, do it unto the glory of God. Do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. Be careful of wealth. In other words, be rich in good deeds. There's one final instruction. Number 7. Guard the truth of Scripture. Paul ends his first letter to Timothy in very much the same way that he begins it. He begins it by encouraging him to guard the truths of Scripture. And he ends it in exactly the same way. Verse number 20. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. Guard what was committed. Guard the truth of Scripture. Because it's truth that points us to Jesus. It is truth that leads us out of darkness and into His glorious light. It is truth that sets people free. It is all we have too. Let's never ever forget that, church. God has blessed us with land and He has blessed us with a building and with nice accoutrements. And that is wonderful and we're thankful for them and we're thankful for those who came before us, who gave and who sacrificed and who worked and who served and who sweated and who built. We are thankful for all these things that God has given us. Please hear me today. We're thankful for them. But if you and I as God's people ever forsake the truth, then we have nothing. We have nothing. This truth that sets us free is all we have. People can find fellowship out in the world. People can find nice teaching out of the world. People can find nice doctrinal teaching out in the world. What we have been given and what we are to guard is Christ crucified. That Jesus came and that He died and that salvation is found in Christ and in Christ alone. That He is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. That there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ. That's the truth of Scripture. We better hold it and we better guard it for all it's worth. Because if we ever lose it, we have nothing. Guard the truth of Scripture in your life. May God help us to take these simple principles from His Word, and may He change our lives by them. I would ask you, if you would, to please bow your heads at this time.